today we will look into more caching. In the last class, we were discussing that caches are small memory structure in the processor, so they have less capacity than the main memory, but they're way faster. And the way we try to design them is that most of the time, whatever the application is accessing, the data one application accesses, we try to make sure that most of them are in cache, so we can access them faster and don't have to go to more expensive memory. So in this way, we provide an illusion that we have a very large memory, but also which has very short latency. And in reality, caches are not that big. They are not as big as main memory. So we are actually taking advantage of locality to give an illusion that the most of the data we need is present in the cache. And what does that locality say? We have two different kinds of locality. One is temporal locality, which basically says that if a value is accessed now, it will be accessed again soon. So we should always keep things that are recently accessed. We should keep them in cache. And spatial locality says that if a value is accessed now, most likely the edges and values would be accessed soon. So caches should store edges and values at the same time. And basically this locality provides us better cache hit rate. That's because the way we write the programs, usually there are some spatial and temporal locality. So we were going through this example last class, where we have an array and we're trying to take the mean of all the elements in that array. So here is a loop. It iterates over all the index in the array, takes the sum, and out of the loop, it divides the sum by the length of the array. So if we look at the data values, we have a spatial locality with the array. Whenever I'm accessing the value I, in the next iteration, we will access I plus 1. So edges and values are accessing sooner. We also have temporal locality, for example, for this variable I or total, where we are accessing them in each iteration of the loop. But this locality also exists in the code. So if I am within the loop executing some instruction, for example, this one where I compare the compare I with the length. If we are executing this instruction, it's highly likely that we will execute the sum instruction at the very recently. So that's kind of a spatial locality. Also, some instructions, they are just getting executed over and over again. For example, taking the sum, partial sum of the values. So this is the inherent reason that caches work. So they provide us a high hit rate. So whenever we are accessing something from the cache, due to locality, we are it's highly likely that we will get that data in our cache. So that's the high level intuition behind the cache. And in this class, we will try to build a cache in the hardware. So first thing we want to know here is we have a cache which can hold 8 bytes of data, but we divide the cache in a way that each block here contains 2 bytes. And that's the granularity of access in our cache. Whenever we want to get some data from the memory, we will bring 2 bytes of data. Whenever we are trying to read something from the cache, we will read or write 2 bytes of data. So that means that we have these 4 slots in our cache. Each of them can contain 2 bytes. And while we are doing this, basically we are trying to exploit the spatial locality, because the spatial locality says that if I have accessed the value which is here at the first element within the block, it's highly likely that I will use the second one. So now, to make things easier, what will we do is we will divide our memory in 2 bytes chunk 2. So whenever we are reading something, we will bring 2 bytes of data. So that's why here you can see that this one is one cache block contains 2 bytes, and the byte addresses are 0 and 1. And if I want to put a block in my cache, I will always bring bytes addresses that's a multiple of 2. So it will be always 0, 1, the block will contain address 2, 3 or 3, 4. So we will never mix 1 and 2, just because we want to keep things simpler. So the cache will always access blocks which is 2 bytes, and it would be always a multiple of 2, the address. So now we are trying to build a very simple cache, and this one is called direct map cache. This direct mapped cache basically says that there is only one slot in my cache where one particular address or cache of memory block can reside in. So for example, let's take this address 01011, and within our cache there could be just one row, one cache block where this address can reside. So how should we do that? Basically what we do is we take some bits in the address and use it to index the cache. So here we have 4 blocks, so we have 4 sets in our cache, and we need 2 bits to address that. So that's why this is the index. The first one is 00, second one is 011011. And direct map cache says that we will use some of the bits from the address. So here we are using bit 1 and 2. Use it as the index in our cache. So if we have index 00, that will mean that we have only one position in our cache where that address can go, and that is index 00. If the index bits are 01, the only place we should look up in our cache is the second row. If the index bit is 10, then the only place it could go is the third row, and for 11, it could be placed in the fourth row. And after that, we will actually wrap around. So here, the fifth block in our memory, that again contains 00 in its index bit. So that basically means that it can only be placed in the first block. For 01 index bit, you can see that now we have we can have multiple blocks in our memory that both can be placed in this second slot. Any question here? So basically we have a cache which doesn't have the whole capacity of memory. It has some smaller capacity, and each row in this cache can hold a block, but it depends on the index bits that which block from memory can be placed in that cache block. So the one which has index 00, the green ones, only there is only one place in our cache where we can place those blocks, and so on. So you can see the color code. And this is the basic principle of direct map, that there is exactly one place for each address where we could put that in our cache. And it's decided by these index bits. Any question? Yes.
Which index bits are decided?
So for this design, we have decided that we will use these bit 1 and 2, not bit 0. But that's the next thing we will now talk about, like how to decide which bits say what should be the index. So before we get to that, first, we had this example that we have this address 01010, and if we look at its index bits, basically the bit 1 and 2, which reads 01. And if we want to know that if the block is in the cache or not, we will take the index, which is 01, and that means that it is supposed to be in this second row. So we could read out that data, whatever we have, and it contains 00. So at that point, we actually don't know if the address, this particular address, does it contain 00, or it's just some other previous value that is already in the cache, or some garbage values. So we actually don't have enough information here to know that if it's a valid cache block that I'm trying to look up. So that's why we need some extra metadata in our cache. So we have this array where we keep all the cache blocks, but we also have some extra information regarding each of these blocks. So one thing we need to know if it's containing any valid data block or not. Zero means it's not valid, it's empty. One means that we can use that block. So now we take the index. Index says that look at the value at row 1. And suppose we find that the valid bit is 1, and there is some data in our data block. But now there is a possibility that we could have multiple blocks within our memory which has the same index bit. So as I said here, this address 0010 and 01010, they both have the same index bit. And when we are looking up our cache, we know that the index bits, from the index bit, that one of those blocks should be in our cache, but we exactly don't know which one. So that's why we need some other information, and that is the one we call as tag. So what does it keep? It keeps the rest of the bits, the higher order bits, from the address, so that when we are trying to look up our cache, after we have the index, then we look up the valid bit and say that, okay, there is a valid cache block here, but now we need to figure out which one is that. So we take these higher order bits and try to match with the tag bits in the cache. And if they match, then we know that that's the address we are trying to look up. If they don't match, that means that some other block with same index bit is already stored in the cache, so that's not the cache block we are trying to look at. Any question here? So at the high level, this is how the cache will look like. We will have this array where we keep all the data blocks. And we also have some other information, for example, valid bit and tags. And when we get an address, first thing we do is we take out the index bits. For example, here, bit 234, those are our index bits. And see that it's kind of different from the one we were seeing before, right? And the reason is here we have 8 sets, and we need 3 bits to index that. So that's why instead of 2 bits in this example, we have 3 bits. And the index bit says that, look at the 5th row. So we go to the 5th row, we read out all the value there. And first thing we have to look at is we want to look at the valid bit. Is the valid bit turned on? If it's set, that means that there is some valid information there. So now we have to look at the tag bits and take the higher order bits from the address and match it with the bits we have in our tag array. And only if both of them are true, the tags matched and the valid bit is 1, it means that whatever address we are trying to look up in our cache, it exists there, so that's a cache hit. So that's why we have an AND here. So now we know that the block exists in our cache, but now we have to read out the data. So what we do, we actually use the first few bits from our address, which says that within the block, which byte we are trying to read. So in this example, we have a data block which contains 4 bytes. So that means that we could try to read either byte 0, 1, 2, or 3. So that's why we need 4, we need 2 bits. And here, the bits that says within the block which byte we want to read, that is called the offset. So offset here is 1, 0, which says that we want to read out the 3rd byte. So that's why eventually when we read out, the offset goes to a mux. The mux selects the 3rd byte, which contains V6. So that's the high level operation. Any questions? Okay. So far I have just said that let's assume this is my index bit, this is my offset bit. But there is some way we should decide it. So whenever we look at an address, we need to figure out what are the index bits, what are the offset bits, and what are the tags. And that basically depends on the organization of the cache that we are designing. So here we have 3 examples. We have a cache which has 4 sets, the first one. But the block size is 2 bytes. The second one, the block size is still 2 bytes, but it has 8 sets. And the third one, it has 4 bytes, but it has just 2 sets. So we could use any of this configuration. And for each of them, the bits for index, tag, and offset would be different. So how do we decide that? Let's take the first one. So whenever given an address, we want to decide what are the bits that we will use for offset. And that will be decided by the size of the block. So for the first example, the block size is 2 bytes, which basically means that if we want to index that which byte within the block we are accessing, we need 1 bit. Either it would be 0 or it would be 1. And for this one, it's still the same, like 2 bytes of block, so we just need 1 bit offset. But for the third one, we can store 4 bytes within 1 block. And that means that we need 2 bits to index them. So it could be either 0, 1, 2, 3. And that's why we will use the first 2 bits from the address as the offset. Any questions? Yes.
Did you mention the colleges like the first two classes?
Yes. So from the lower order bit, from the lower order side, the first few is always used an offset. And I guess the question is why, right? And the reason is, again, spatial locality. So we want to make sure that if I access the block, I bring some consecutive bytes in my cache. So because it's likely that if I address the first one, it's highly likely I will address the second or third. So the next thing is index. How many bits do we need after we know the offset? And that one is decided by how many sets we have in our cache. So for the first one, you can see that we have four sets, four rows. And basically, we need 2 bits to index 4 sets. So that's why we need to, like, we have 2 bits here. So after the first byte, the first bit, which goes for the offset, the next 2 bits will go for the index. When we have 8 sets, we actually need 3 bits to index from 0 to 7. And that's why we need 3 bits for this 8 sets cache configuration. And for the last one, when we have just 2 sets, that means that we need just 1 bit. So the set number could be either 0 or 1, and using just 1 bit is enough. So now we know what's the offset and what's the index, but what would happen with the tag, that one is actually pretty simple. Whatever left in our address in the higher order bits, they will all go to our tag. Any question here? Okay, so now we know the rules from the looking at the number of bytes within the block and number of sets within our cache. But you can also calculate the same thing by plugging in these into these equations, which basically says the same thing. So here, if I have this S number of sets, we will just figure out what is the 2 to the power S, which is equal to this capital S, and that will decide that how many bits we need for our index. The same thing with the block size. That will tell us how many bits we need for offsets, and then the rest of the bits from the address, those just go to our tag. But I guess this is one thing we should look at, is what's the size of the cache. Given all this information, number of bytes within the block, number of sets, how can we calculate what's the size of the cache? And that is basically the size of the byte multiplied by the size, the number of the cache. So basically, if we go back here, we're trying to figure out what is the size of this data array. So it's not including any of the bits we have for metadata, valid bits or tag bits, they are not included here. When we are trying to calculate the cache size, that is basically this portion, which is size of the data block multiplied by number of sets. And this is the equation when we are designing this direct map cache. We will learn some variation of the direct map cache, but for now, we are trying to learn the simplest one. And if we just multiply the block size by the number of sets, we get the cache size. Any question here? Okay. So now we will go through an example. So here we have a bunch of addresses. We are accessing the cache with these addresses. And our cache It has two byte blocks, and it has four sets. In order to determine if these addresses hit or miss the cache, first thing we need to determine is what are the bits we will use for index, offset, and tag. And how do we decide it? You can look at the size of the byte and the number of sets, or you can plug in the numbers into the equation. So basically, because we have two byte blocks, which that means that we just need one bit to say it's either byte 0 or byte 1. And we have four sets in our cache, which means that we need two bits to index the cache. So basically, the first bit goes to the offset. The next two bits, we will use them as index. And whatever is left, that is our tag. So now that we know how to divide the address, now we will use these index and tag to look up our cache. So I guess the first one, first address. What we have to do is, first we will look at the index bits, and we see that the index bits are two zeros. And that says that whatever address we are trying to look up, it is supposed to be at this set 0. We look up the valid bit, and we see that actually this cache block is empty. So what we have to do now, we actually have to go to memory and fetch the actual block. And then we have a design decision to make. So once we brought the block from memory, we can place it in the cache, or we just throw it out, or do something. Like, what do you think would be the right design to implement? Anyone? Yes. Yeah, I guess that's very intuitive. Like, we don't have anything in the cache, so, and we also, because of locality, we are assuming that whatever we are accessing would be accessed in the near future, so we want it to be placed in the cache. So that's what we do. We put the blocks which we read from the memory in the data array, and we also place the tag bits from that address. So here the tag contains all zeros, so we put it in the in our tag bits. So now we go to the next address. Next address, we look at the index bits, and again they're all zero. So that means that whatever address we are trying to look up, it's at index 1, index 0, the first row. We look at the valid bit, and it contains a valid block, so things are good. And we match the tag. And this time, we see that the tags are matching. And basically, that means it means that we this address that we are trying to look up, it's actually in the cache. And if you look at the offset, you see that the first offset was 0, but the second one is 1. So now we have a hit in our cache because of spatial locality. Because when we fetch the block, instead of bringing just one byte, we brought two bytes in one block. So now we will get to the third axis. And again, the procedure is very similar. We look at our index bits. And this time, the index bits are 0, 1, which means that the block is supposed to be in the second row. But we look at the valid bit, and we find that there is nothing in that space. So what we would do is we will fetch the block from memory, put in the data here, and we will appropriately set the tag bits. Now we will get to the next axis, which is where we see that the index bits are 0. That means that now actually we are getting to the first row again. But this time we see that the tags don't match. The valid bit is one, but the tag here is all zero, but here the tag we are trying to look up contains 01100. So this becomes a miss again. So what we have to do is we have to fetch the block from memory. And because we just have one position where that block can go in the cache, we evict whatever was there in the first slot and put the new block here. And the reason is the locality again, because we are just predicting that whatever has been accessed recently is more important. So that's why we put it here. The next access, the index is 01. So that means this is the second row. And we see that the tags match. So this becomes a hit. Then in the next access, we see that the index bits are all zero. So that means that again, we are accessing the first block from our cache. The valid bit is one, but we see that the tags don't match. So it's all zero here, but we just put another block in our cache. So this becomes a miss. And whenever there is a miss, we will actually replace whatever was there in our cache with the new block, and we will set up our tag bits. And for the last one, we see that the index bit is 10, which means that it is supposed to be in this third row, which was invalid before. So there is no conflict here, we just bring the block from memory and put it here. So one thing to note that we were putting, there were multiple addresses which were trying to put the block in our first slot. So basically there were all these misses because many of the blocks we were accessing, they had the same index bit. So they were competing for the same slot in our cache. And whenever there are some miss because there are just not enough place in our cache to put all these blocks with the same index, we call it as a conflict miss. So we will design some other caches where we try to avoid these miss. But before we go to that, I guess, let's do another exercise. So this is kind of similar. We have four sets in our cache, so we will need two index bits. But we actually have larger block size. Each block here can hold 4 bytes. And we have a bunch of addresses that we want to know if they hit or miss the cache. So if we want to decide that, first thing we need to know is how should we divide our address into offset and index and tag. So you can try to look at the number of sets and the size of the block, or you can plug in the numbers in this equation. So who can tell me how should we split the address into offset, index, and tag? Yes?
2 bits for offset, 2 bits for index, and then 4 bits for tag.
Yes. So basically, because we have 4 sets, we need 2 bits. We have 4 bytes within the block. That's why we need 2 bits for offset, and rest of it will go to our tag. So now what we want to do is we want to know that if we go through all these addresses, how many hits we will have in our cache. So this is an example you can go through right now. You can talk to your friends and try to discuss. So who can tell me what would be the result for the first axis? Would it be a hit or miss? Yes, because, okay, I guess the procedure is we will always look up the index bits, and for this address, the index bits are all zero, which basically says that the block should be in the first set. But because there is nothing in the cache yet, valid bits are all zeros, so that's why we missed the first time. But at the same time, it means that we fetch the data from memory and we put these 4 bytes in our data and set up our tag bits. So now for the second address, we again have index 00. So would it be hit or miss? Yes, so basically we see that the valid bit is 1 and also the tag is matching with the tag bits in our address. So basically it's just because we brought in 4 bytes one at a time, we have a hit because of spatial locality. So now let's go to the third address, which again has index 0. Would it be hit or miss? Yes, because the tags didn't match. The tag bits all had all zeros in the cache, but the one we are looking up, it has something else. So once we miss, now we place our new block, because that's the recent one in our cache, and we change the tag bits. The fourth address, again, it has index 0. Would it be hit or miss? Anyone? You said something. Hey, yes. The reason is same. If we match the tag, we see that the tags match. What about the next one? So it's hit again because it's accessing the same set and the tags also match. But what about the next one? So this is a miss because the tags don't match. We had 0110 here, but the address that we are looking up, it contains all zeros in the tag. So again, we bring the block in the cache. For the last one, hit or miss? Miss, yes. And the reason is this one has a new index, 01, and the cache was empty there. So we bring in our block there and put it in our cache. So here you can see that we were accessing this block, the block with index 0 three times. And the reason we were getting more misses is because we just have one single space in our cache where all those blocks with the same index can go. So that's kind of the way we have designed our direct mapped cache. So this is also what we have seen in our prior example, where basically we are accessing multiple blocks with the same index and they're competing for the same space. So we want to solve that problem by doing something in our cache. So what we do actually is we try to put more space for the same index. So before we had this one set and we had this one slot for all the blocks which had the same index bits. But we could add more. We could have this another array another column which can hold blocks with the same index. And you can see that we also have to duplicate the tag space and valid bit space also. So now we have what we call this is an associative cache, where now we have multiple places to put values with the same index. And the reason we are trying to do is because we want to reduce these conflict pieces. So before, when we had a set, there was only one place we could put the block. But now we actually have multiple options. And we call these columns as way 0, way 1. This design, this is a two-way set associative cache because it has two places where blocks with the same index can go. Any question here? So this would help us to reduce the conflict mix. But now there is this design complexity that when we are looking up the cache, how should we know if it's in the cache or not? So to know that, how should we look up the set associative cache, we will still go through almost the same procedure. So first thing we need to know is how many bits we need for our offsets and index, and which is kind of the same. So here, we have two sets, so we need one bit for our index. And the block size is 2 bytes, so again, we need one bit for our offset. And rest of the 6 bits will just go to the tag. So now, how should we look up our cache? Given that we know which bits belong to offset, index, and tag. So let's take a look at the first one. So here, the index bit is 0, which basically means that we are supposed to put the block in our first set. And it was empty before. So now we could, when we bring the block from the memory, we have two choices to put the block in. And because both of them are invalid, we just take the first one, put the block there, and set our tag bits. Now for the second address, we see that the index bit is 0. Basically, it means that it should be at set 0. But now we need to match the tag, and we see that the first way, it has a valid block and it matches the tag that we have. So that means that it's a hit. And the second way, it didn't have anything valid, so we didn't have to match anything. Now let's go to the third one, where the set index is 1. So basically at set 1, we don't have any valid entry there, so we will just put the block once we bring it from the memory and set up our tag bits. The fourth axis, the index bit is 0. So now we go back to our set 0. And we match the tag and see that they don't match. So here we have all zeros, but the address that we are trying to look up, it has 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 0. So that's a mix. And before, because they have the same index bits, if it was a direct mapped cache, we actually had to replace this one and put the new block here. But because of said associativity, now we have this extra way where we can put this block in the cache. So now we have avoided evicting this first block. So the next axis, the set index is 1, and we figure out that it matches with this block, so it's a hit. And the next axis, the set index is 0, and now we have to match the tag with both of these tags, whatever we have in our index 0. And we find that it actually matches to the first way. So that's why it becomes a hit. If we had replaced this one with this block, it would have caused a conflict miss here. By having more ways, we have avoided that. Now let's take a look at the last address, which again the index is zero. So we will go to this set and we have to match both tags. And we find that none of the tags match with the tag we have in our address. So now we have to replace one of them. And there are many policies based on which we can pick either this way 0 or way 1. Basically, we will learn about those policies later. But just assume that there is some policy which will say that if you want to replace way 0 or way 1. So for example, here we have replaced way 0. So at the high level, this is how the associative cache would look like. We have two arrays, like two ways, way 0 and way 1. And whenever we have an address, we split it to offset, index, and tag. And we use the index bits to read out the row, the whole row, in both ways. Now, before we had to compare only one valid bit and one tag, but now what happens is we take the valid bit and the tags from both ways and compare them with the tag we have in our address. So in this case, the tag contains 1, 1. So in parallel, we try to compare it with the tag in way 0 and way 1, and basically we find that it matches with way 0. And also the valid bit is 1. That basically triggers the mux here, which says that which byte within the block we want to read. So that comes from our offset bit, which says that read out the byte 1, and that is B5 in this case. So the mux forwards B5 from here. Any question here? So when we were trying to look up our direct mapped cache, the options were either the block is present or it's not present. But in associative cache, we actually have three options. So when we are looking up our cache, it could happen that none of the valid bits are set. So we actually have to look up all the ways. So in this example, we just had two ways, but think about there could be 8 ways, right? And if all of them have invalid bits, that means that the set doesn't contain any cache block. That could be one possibility. The next possibility is the valid bits are set in all ways, but the index does not match with anything that we have stored in any of the ways. So that's the possibility when we have a cache miss. And what's the third possibility? The third possibility is when the valid bit is turned on and also the tag bits matches to one of the tags, only then we have these hit, cache hit. Any question? Okay. So there are some terminology associated with cache. So we already have seen two. The first one, direct mapped. Basically, it says that there is just one block per set. There is just one slot in our cache where blocks with the same index can go. And also we have seen set associative where we add more ways in our set. So if it's E-way set associative, that means that we have E number of columns. And the reason we are trying to do is we want to avoid conflict mist, but also with the added complexity. So we have to have more comparators and multiplexers. Also, we have to read out more things from all the ways. But you could say that maybe we go to the extreme case where we just have one set and all the blocks belong to that one particular set. That is the case where we have fully associative. So it's the most flexible one where any block can be placed anywhere within our set. So it should have the lowest conflict mist, but at the same time we have to have we have to add more complexity in our fully associative cache because we have to match the tag in each block that we have within the set. Any question here? Okay. So if we have a set associative cache, how should we decide the number of bits we need to use for our offset, index, and tag? And what you can see that it is kind of the same. We look at the number of blocks per set, and that is the number of ways. We look at the number of sets, and that basically gives us the number of index bits. Block size gives us the number of bits in offset. And rest of the bits go to our tag. But there is one difference here, which is due to the cache added associativity. So before, when we are trying to get the number, the cache size, we were just taking the size of the block and multiplying it with the number of sets we have. But now, because we can have multiple ways, we can have more associativity, we actually have to multiply it with the number of ways we have in our cache. So it becomes size of block multiplied by number of sets multiplied by associativity. And again, it just shows, so basically it gives the size of this data portion, that purple portion. We are not including the space we need for valid bits and tag bits. Any question? Okay. So now what we want to do is we have these equations which we use to determine, to split our addresses into offset, tag, and index. And we could have different configuration of caches. So here I have L1 data cache, which has 32 kilobyte, 8 blocks per set, and 64 byte blocks. L2 cache has 256 kilobyte, 4 bytes per set, 64 byte blocks. And L3 cache, it's larger. It has 8 megabyte size, 16 set associative, and the block size is 64. So now we want to take our address, which let's assume is 64 bits, and we want to split the address into tag, index, and offset. So you have maybe 10 minutes to go through the exercise. After that, we will try to see the solution. So I guess let's start with the first one. Like, given this information, L1 data cache size, associativity, and block size, what would be the split for tag, index, and offset? you can work with your within a group, talk to each other. So who can tell me how many bits we need for block offset in L1? Yes.
6 bits.
How do you know that?
Because 64 is 2 to 6.
So that one is pretty simple, yes. So the next thing we want to know is how many bits we need for our set index. And that comes from how many sets we have. And if you look at the information here, we actually didn't provide you that information directly, but there is a way to calculate it using this equation. So I guess this is the first part. We already have given the size of the block, so that's why we know the offset bits. But we don't actually know how many sets we have in the cache, but we will use this equation to solve that. So we know the number of associativity, we know the size of the block, and we also know the size of the whole cache. So if we use that, we can get the number of sets we have in our cache. And basically, we just have to divide the cache size by the block size and associativity. So what was our cache size? It was 32 kilobytes. So who can tell me what is the number of sets? I guess we have to convert 32 kilobytes into bytes to get the number. So 32 kilobyte is 2 to the power 10 multiplied by 32. And then we have 64 bytes. And 8 is the associativity that we had. So eventually what it says that we have 64 sets in our L1. And in order to represent 64 sets, we actually need 6 bits. Because 2 to the power 6 is 64. So any question here? So you can use the same methodology to figure out the rest. And who can tell me what would be the split for L2 and L3? So I just use this method and try to apply it for L2 and L3. Anyone wants to volunteer? So instead of 32 kilobyte, our L2 is 256 kilobyte, but the associativity is actually different. It's 4. So eventually, if you do the math, you will end up with this. I guess you should know kilobyte is 2 to the power 10, megabyte is 2 to the power 20. Other than that, I guess it's simple math. Any question here? Like, any question with this exercise? Okay, I guess I will stop here today and we will go through how to split the address in the next class. Thank you.